Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring. Welcome, Fight Fans, to another edition of the 2-Minute Round here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. My name is Felipe Leon of FightNews.com, and with me, as always, our co-host, Elena Baby Doll Reed. Baby Doll, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Elena, and Happy New Year from us here at the 2-Minute Round to Happy 2017, and we're waiting for our other co-host, David Avila of theboxingscene.com and theprizefighters.com to join us. I think he's having a little bit of a technical difficulty, so hopefully he could give us a call and call in, but we're going to get started a little bit here. With myself and Elena, we're going to go over the little bit of fights that happened in the last part of the last month of 2017 as far as female fights. And then also we're going to go over the schedule, which there's not a lot of fights coming up in the next couple of weeks, but there is a very important fight that is happening. We'll go over that in the upcoming calendar. And then also we're going to go over the 2016 awards as far as that were determined by us here at the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. And also the fights that we want to see in 2017. David, are you with us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh perfect. Yeah. Thank you. There we have it. David Avila. David Avila, why don't you say hello to our audience and
hey, everybody, Happy New Year, and glad to be with you guys, and special hi to Elena and to Felipe.
Thank you, David, and I was just giving the introduction of what we're going to be talking about today on the show, the first show of the 2-Minute Round for 2017. I mentioned that we're going to go over the fight results for the last couple of weeks, for the last month, and also we're going to look at the upcoming calendar, which is a little bit light in the beginning of the year, but we do have a very important fight happening in the next couple of weeks, and I would like you, for you to talk a little bit more in depth about that when we get there, David, because you did write a great article for theprizefighters.com regarding that fight. And also we're going to go over our picks for 2016 and also the five fights that we want to see in 2017, at least the five fights we want to see, and we want to discuss those a little bit in detail. So starting off with the fight results, also before I move on, I would like to give the number if you guys want to give us a call and talk all about female boxing here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. The number here is 347-215-7598, 347-215-7598. Join us here on our first show of 2017, a 2-Minute Round, every other Thursday here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, and we're expecting a great year of not only female boxing this year in 2017, but as well as great shows, bringing you more guests and more exclusive interviews like we've done in the last year, which was our first. You know, we've actually, before we move on, we've had a pretty good run in 2016, and we started off with Mr. Tom Loeffler of K2 Promotions, who spoke to us about his view of female boxing and the fights that he has put on his fight cards featuring Gennady Golovkin and Romario Chocolatito Gonzalez and the females that he's put on there. And then we've also had Jelena Miranovic, the 126-pound WBA and WBC champion. We've had Christy Martin, the legendary Christy Martin, join us on the show here. We've had Blanca Gutierrez, the Northern California Bay Area promoter out there, who's doing a very good job promoting female boxing in the Northern California area. We've had 130-pound WBC champion Melissa St. Ville with us. We've had Heather Hardy, the great Heather Hardy from New York, with us. Who else have we had, David and Elena?
We also had Amaris Quintana, Sinisa Estrada, and Kenny Enriquez.
We did have them before.
Do we have Kenny Rice?
We had who?
Kelly Rice. Kaylee Rice.
Yes, we did. Yes,
we had Kelly Rice. We had Marisela. We had Marisela Cornejo in one of our first shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had the manager from New York, David, that manages all these a lot of the women up there.
Brian Cohen.
Yeah.
We have Brian Cohen. So we've had a pretty good run in 2016, and we're going to grow from there in 2017 and hopefully give you a bigger and better podcast in this new year.
Daisy Lang.
We had Daisy Lang, the legendary Daisy Lang as well. Yeah. So with that said, we'll give you some more this year, and we're going to move on and give you some of the fight results starting on Friday, December 16th from Buenos Aires, Argentina. I guess this is like the fifth time I used the word legendary in the last 3 minutes, but I'm going to say it again. The legendary Marcela Iliana Acuña scoring a 10th round knockout of Jessica Patricia Marcos to capture the vacant IBF 122-pound title. At 38 seconds of a 10th round. You know, I tried to watch that fight today, David, and I wasn't able to get it was on YouTube, but for some reason it wasn't loading. Tell us about the fight.
Well, it was a really action-packed fight. This fight was much better than the first fight where everybody thought Acuña won. But the second fight was very good. It was tight. Acuña was winning. She had the advantage. And it was going into the final round, and then she lowered the boom. She caught her the right. She caught Marcus walking into a right hand, and it was over. I mean, she was counted out flat on her back, and it was a one punch knockout.
Wow.
Now, where does she go from here? I mean, she's been fighting for quite a while. She's actually slowed down quite a bit in the last couple of years, maybe fighting once or twice a year, but she's like in her late 30s, I believe, almost hitting 40. So do you think that we have her for much longer? And if so, do you think that she actually goes out and fights a big name? Because the fighters that she's had recently, they haven't been real big names. They've been other Argentinians who, obviously, we all know, if we follow female boxing, that Argentina has a rich history of female boxing, and they have really good fighters. But she hasn't really stepped out maybe of her comfort zone to go out there and maybe look for a bigger name in that division. What do you think, David? Is that something that we might see this year from her?
I definitely see that happening. I know that one of our writers that covers Argentina very heavy is Diego Boria. And based on what he says, she's looking for the big fight. She really does want a big fight. I mean, she started with big fights. She started the first two fights were Christy Martin and Lucille Riker. It doesn't get bigger than that.
Yeah, that's true.
I can see her ending like that.
Well, one of the big names that we're going to be discussing later, and obviously quite possibly one of the bigger names in the female boxing world right now, is Amanda Serrano. Do you think that Acuña will make the leap to the United States? Has she fought in the United States before? I mean, I haven't looked at her box rec, but do you remember off the top of your head if she fought in the United States?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she has fought in the United States a couple of times already. And she was actually training, I heard, in New Jersey for a little bit. So she's familiar with the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets the offer to fight Amanda that she would do it.
Her first two fights that you mentioned that she ended up, she lost actually Christy Martin and Lucia Riker. They were in the United States, but then she went back and campaigned in Argentina. A question for you, Elena, being the fighter here in our podcast, and I'm not sure if you would know the answer for this, but how hard is it for a fighter like Marcela Acuña she's actually 40 years old. She turned 40 in October. How hard is it for a fighter like Marcela Acuña, who has been so successful in Argentina and who has such a great career, to get out of that comfort zone and maybe look for a bigger challenge, maybe in the United States?
I guess it just depends. I mean, obviously she's motivated, but I guess it just depends on what motivates her. You know, if it's money and easy things and she has it, right? She's making, I'm sure, decent money at least out there, and she has a big following. And if that's what's motivating her, then she's not going to leave. But if she's motivated, you know, to be a great boxer and to have those great fights, then I think it'd be easy. So I can't tell you what her heart holds, but I think as a fighter, I think if she got a fight against Amanda Serrano, I think she would take it, because that's a big fight. And I think fighter's heart, it wouldn't be a tough thing for her to come over here and fight Amanda Serrano.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, what does she have to lose, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You do have a good point there. Moving on Saturday, December 17th, from Finland, Eva Wallstrom, undefeated, scored a unanimous decision over Anahí Esther Sánchez and a 10-rounder defending her WBC super featherweight title. Scores there were 98-92 and 97-94 two times. While on the same night, from the Oasis Arena in Cancun, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa, the biggest channel, terrestrial network in Mexico, gave us again another female main event in Mexico, with Mariana Juarez scoring a majority decision over Irma Garcia in a 10-rounder for the WBC International Bantamweight title. Scores there were 96-93 and 95-94 and 95-95 majority decision, and with Mariana Juarez again making the leap to the bantamweight division, 118 pounds. I did watch this fight today. I thought it was very close. I thought that Mariana Juarez kind of struggled a little bit with the southpaw stance from Irma Garcia in the first half of the fight. Juarez actually switched over and tried to fight southpaw. I didn't think she was doing that great from that stance. I think that Mariana Juarez was a busier fighter in the second half, but Garcia was scoring the better punches. But Juarez came, I think that she kind of pressured more in the second half and let her experience shine and was able to take the majority decision, although a very close fight. David, I know you watched this fight as well. What were your thoughts?
I thought Mariana was more accurate. I thought her punches landed, whereas Irma threw a lot of punches, but they weren't very accurate. She's very fast, very skilled, but her accuracy was just a little off. And that's why
she had the
fight to Juarez.
I saw Garcia had... She had really good luck scoring while Juarez was coming in, and I think she was countering her a bit better than Juarez was, being that Juarez was the aggressor. But I did see Juarez win the fight as well in a very close fight. And another interesting note on this fight is that they actually had four judges, and the fourth judge scored in 95-94 as well for Mariana Juarez. This is as far as they explained it in the broadcast from Televisa. It's an experiment that the WBC is trying out, and I think this was the first time that they did it to this capacity, where they're going to have four judges scoring championship fights. So I personally, let me give you my opinion, and then I would ask for Elena's and then David's. I personally don't like it. I just don't think – I don't see the point of it. I mean, if they would have used this fourth judge as the other judge, I mean, it's not a majority decision anymore. I don't know how they would use the fourth judge. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to boxing, as well as when it comes to other sports that I like baseball. Like, I'm not a big – I stopped watching baseball when they started doing, like, the interleague games in between the season. That, to me, kind of just killed the sport for me. I don't believe in it. And I'm the same way in boxing, so I don't see the point in having it. What's your thoughts, Elena, on the fourth judge?
I have a couple questions. First of all, about the judging and also just about the fight. But so if, let's say, two judges have it the same as each other and then the other two judges have it the same as each other, that's a draw. Why wouldn't they – it seems to me like that odd number, if they're going to go four, why don't they have five? And then I guess they would just have to explain it to me more, and I guess more eyes is better, but depending on who has those eyes and the brain behind it. So I don't think I'm a fan of four judges either. I just, maybe if I heard someone speak on it and why it would be better, but I don't think more, because judging is so subjective, so I don't necessarily think a fourth person would be better. And then my question for you guys is, was this more telling of what Mariana's going to do in that division? Like, do you guys have more hope, and do you believe that she does belong in that division and she can do something there?
Go ahead, David.
I kind of believe the same thing as Elena. What's the point? And you believe it. I don't see the point in having a fourth. Because, I mean, like she said, why not have five then? And why not seven? It just goes on and on and on. It's going to be like the Olympics where they had like 20 guys with buttons and they were all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
get better
second
quality judges, right? That's the point.
That's the point. Is that I think that we are. I think that this is something that we've seen in the, if you've been a boxing fan for, and you know, obviously, David, you've been following the sport for a lot longer than I have or Elena. And actually, Elena has participated, and I'm sure that she has been on the short end of a decision. But it's something that you know, that has plagued the sport for a long time, and I don't think that to me, it's just another guy that could give a bad decision. You know, it's just it doesn't fix the issue. As far as the Barbie Juarez question, I don't think that she has what it takes, honestly, David and Elena, in this division. I think that she's too small for the division. I think that Irma Garcia, even though she's a good fighter and she had disputed for the title before, and I think she actually won the world title at one point. I don't remember if it was an interim title or not. I don't think that she was an elite fighter of the division. And maybe Barbie Juarez 5 or 10 years ago would have done really, really well, and I wouldn't be surprised if she would have become a champion in that division. But at, you know, 35, 36 years old and coming from flyweight, I don't think that she has what it takes to actually win a world title at 118 pounds. David, what do you think?
I don't know. Mariana's always been a puzzle. I mean, just when you think she's not going to do that well, she does well. She's just one of those fighters that you can never count out until she's really out. And I'm just not going to count her out yet.
I just think that her performance, I mean, obviously her performance against Irma Garcia was really a really good performance. And Daniela Bermudez, I think her performance against her is what leaves me doubting, because Daniela Bermudez is not a bantamweight. She's a good fighter. Is she a great fighter? I don't know. But she's a good fighter, and she was able to beat her pretty handily, you know. And here against Irma Garcia, who I don't consider her an elite fighter, even though BoxRec does score her as a 5-star fighter, you know, it was a close fight. It was a close fight. So I don't know. Maybe I need to see one more fight against a good opponent at that weight class for her to convince me 100% that she could do what needs to get done to win a world title there.
At 182.
Yeah. Okay. On that same fight card in Cancun, Maricela Cornejo scored a unanimous decision over Marta Patricia Lara in a 6th rounder, 168 pounds. Scores there were 59-55 and 58-56 two times, and she pretty much shut her mouth there, David, because we thought she wasn't going to fight since we saw pictures of her at the WBC convention, which was pretty much a week before. But I think that she only was there for like one or two nights, and then she went to Cancun straight from there. So, you know, maybe she trained in Miami while she was there, but whatever the case was, she ended up winning against Marta Patricia Lara, who had a pretty good record. I think she had a little bit more fights than Cornejo as far as shooting, but it looks by the scores that she won pretty handily with a 59-55 and 58-56 two times. On Sunday, December 18th, go ahead.
I was going to say that I met with Maricela last week, and she told me that when she was in Miami, she only like posed for pictures for about a minute or two, and then she went straight to her room. And she said that she actually did train while she was there, and didn't really do much except for train and stay in her room, and she saved her energy. Because I talked to her. I said, that was a little surprising that she was at this convention walking around, and she informed me that she wasn't really walking around, but she was there with her manager. So that's good. She did well.
She did well, and let's see what the 2017 brings from Maricela Cornejo. And we're going to speak about her a little bit more in detail in our next segment. But on December 18th from Tokyo, Japan, actually, I don't know if it was from Tokyo. I know it was in Japan. I probably didn't put the city because I probably couldn't pronounce it. But Yuko Kuroki scored a unanimous decision against Mari Ando in a 10-rounder to defend her 105 strawweight WBC title. Scores there were 96, 92, three times. And in our last result of the fight results, on Christmas Day, Sunday, December 25th, in Belgium, Delphine Persoon scored a disqualification win in the eighth and final round over Evelyn Ordero in a 135-pound fight. And this marks the second time in a row that Persoon, who is considered quite possibly top five pound-for-pound female fighter in the world, wins by disqualification. I don't know if you guys remember, we spoke about it a couple of shows ago, where in her last fight, her previous fight, she had won in disqualification the first round when, you know, she scored what people would call a phantom punch, and the fighter didn't get up, and the referee thought that she kind of like was taking a dive, so she disqualified her. And in this fight against Ordero, it was a rough and tumble fight. I didn't see the whole fight. I didn't find it, but I did see some highlights, and they were, you know, Ordero was clinching, holding to the point where when Delphine Persoon wanted to let go, she would hold her, and then they would trip over and they fall over. And in the eighth round, pretty much the referee had enough and called it a disqualified Ordero and gave Persoon the win. Now, this is the 39th win for Persoon with against only one loss, but it might be her last, because from the reports that I read is that she's submitting herself under the knife for an injured tendon in her right hand, and her career hangs on the result of that surgery. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that surgery. There was no word when she's actually going to have the surgery, but it all hangs on how she recuperated from that surgery. I think she's a little past her prime, perhaps. She's, no offense to, well, I mean, I'm 40, so it doesn't matter. But fighters, she's actually quite young. She's 31 years old. She holds the WBC female lightweight title. That title was not up for grabs in her last fight, being that it was only an 8-rounder. It's kind of like a stay busy fight. She had only had fought in November, on November 11th, where she won by disqualification as well. So let's see what happens. I mean, she's a lightweight champion. I don't know if there's a lot of names in that division that would make sense for her to kind of risk her health and her hand, even if she's not at 100%, to make a payday. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with her career as far as once she has that surgery performed. Okay, so we're going to move on to the female fight chatter, and we're going to go through our 2016 awards. So the way that I would like to do it, David and Elena, is that I want to name the category, and then you go ahead, David, and name the winner, and then we can have a little bit of discussion as far as the choice and give our opinion of why we chose that fighter or that particular whatever, the winner of the award for each one, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we're starting off with the female fighter of the year. David, who is the 2016 two-minute round fighter of the year?
Well, we had several choices. We had Jessica Kika Chavez, we had Amanda Serrano, and we had, who else am I? Oh, Maricela Acuña, among others. The winner was Jessica Kika Chavez. I picked her because she fought several top-notch pound-for-pound fighters and won. And she was my choice. And what about you guys?
Elena?
I would have to agree. I think you're right on. I think she had the best opposition. She might not have been as, like, for outside of the boxing world, she might have not been the biggest name, and she's not as well known as maybe some of the other female fighters. But I think that's a good pick just for the fact that she really did have the toughest fight, more so than I think any of the other females out there.
In 2016, Kika Chavez fought the Argentinian Vanessa Lorena Taborda, whose record is not that impressive, but if anybody's seen Vanessa Taborda fight, she is a very tough fighter. So that was a good start to her year of 2016 for Kika Chavez. But in her second fight, which was in July, she fought fellow Mexican Esmeralda La Joya Moreno in what many considered, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, a fight of the year. So that was a very good fight for Kika Chavez, and she ended up winning that fight via a majority decision. And then in her last fight of the year, which was in October, she fought the very tough Naoko Fujioka and scored a unanimous decision over her. And that was the first fight, or actually not the first fight, but it was one of the first fights of the first round of the WBC female flyweight tournament. So with that said, I agree with both my co-hosts here on the 2 Minute Round on the Libre in the Ring Network, and also named Jessica La Kika Chavez as the female fighter of the year. And with that said, we move on to the best fight of the year for 2016.
Yeah, David? The candidates for best fight were Selena Munoz versus Vanessa Taborda again. And that was a rough and tumble knockdown fight with each girl going down. And then we had the other fight with Yelena Mirjanovic versus Edith Matisse. That was a rematch and a very, very close fight. And then we had the Heather Hardy versus Shelly Vincent fight at Ford Theater in Coney Island, which was a great fight, televised to a national audience for the first time in many, many years, and it lived up to the expectations. And then again, we had Chavez versus Moreno in Mexico City, Cancun, and that was one of those toe-to-toe actions, and there was no room to breathe, and I picked that for the fight of the year.
I agree. I think that was a great fight. I mean, all the fights that you mentioned were great fights. I think a close second was that Heather Hardy and Shelly Vincent, not because of the full-on action that we saw in that fight, but also, you know, what it meant for female boxing in 2017. Yeah. But without a doubt, Jessica Kika Chavez and Esmeralda Moreno, the fight ending in a majority decision. And then, you know, being very, very close to the fact that Esmeralda Moreno has been protesting that fight since the result and wants the rematch, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well as far as where is that headed. But I agree, best fight of the year, Jessica Kika Chavez, the WBC flyweight champion, and Esmeralda Moreno. Elena, any thoughts on that fight?
You know, it's funny because you don't always agree, but I wholeheartedly believe in everything you just said, and I think you said it perfectly. So yeah, so good job.
Thank you. I'm glad that we agree on something, Elena. This
yes, me too.
Okay.
It's a good start to the year.
Exactly. Now, for the 2016 two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world knockout of the year. David, the results, please.
We had several candidates, three. One was Cecilia Brakes' knockout of Anne-Sophie Mathis in the second round. That was a completely shocking result because most people thought she was just going to run and, you know, outpoint her. And she ended up knocking her out in the second round, was very aggressive from the get-go. And that was a pretty shocking fight. And then tied for first was Marcela Cunha knocking out Jessica Marcos in the last round with that right cross that just laid her out for the count. And then tied for first also is Zelina Munoz knocking out Vanessa Taborda with another right hand that she just dealt at her, and she just crumbled. And they had knocked each other down two times, but you know, just caught her perfectly, and she was out for the count too. So those two, Acuna and Marcos and Munoz and Taborda, in my estimation, were the knockouts of the year.
I agree with you, David, wholeheartedly, that Felina Munoz knockout made the rounds in the social media as far as everybody sharing it and talking about it. I mean, she really laid out Taborda out for the count. I mean, I don't even think the referee administered a count after that fight. The interesting thing about Taborda is that it's the first and only time that she's ever been knocked out. So I think that also counts as some brownie points for Zulena La Loba Munoz, who, in my estimation, is one of the most solid female champions in the boxing world right now.
What about Cynthia Nathis? Has she been knocked out before?
Who has?
Who?
I'm asking, has Sophie Mathis, has she been knocked out before this fight?
Let me check.
No, that's a good question. I don't remember if she has or not.
Yeah, because that was a fight that stood out to me just because Sophie Mathis has been around such a long time and she was always such a big name. So to hear that she was knocked out was kind of the most surprising, I think, this past year for me.
Actually, she had been stopped. She was stopped in her second fight as a professional, which surprisingly was scheduled for 10 rounds. She was stopped by a woman by the name of Marisha Shejawa in the Netherlands. But she hadn't been stopped in 11 years and about 25 fights. So I mean, she pretty much forgot about that last knockout. So yeah, so pretty much she was pretty close to it. Had never been stopped. So that's a good point as well. Moving on to the 2016 two-minute round upset of the year, David, the winner.
Well, there was a couple of fights. One of them was Esmeralda Moreno going to Austria to fight Eva Werberger in her hometown and coming away with a majority decision. As Elena can tell you, that's very hard to do, to go to Europe, get a win and come back, because they don't give foreigners the wins by decision over there. You got to knock the girl out.
Yeah.
And the other one is the winner is Catherine Fury upsetting Yasmin Rivas to get the bantamweight title in Tijuana, Mexico a year ago. That was a shock. Most people thought it was just a formality for Rivas to, you know, fight her, win, and keep the belt, because it was during the women's convention, the WBC, and that shocked the world that the girl from Zambia beat her. Were you there, Felipe?
Yeah, I was there, and it was pretty shocking. You know, I was sitting there in the press row, and you know, like you say, David, it was, you know, we thought that it was going to be, you know, just a formality. That I'm trying to remember why you were you know, giving your take on the fight. Who was Rivas? Rivas was being talked about in the 118 pounds to be, I don't know if it was Mariana Juarez or somebody was being mentioned to fight Yasmin Rivas, and all Yasmin Rivas needed to do was to defeat Petey to move on and have this bigger fight. I'm trying to remember who it was that they were mentioning that she will be defending against. But obviously that plan was ruined with Catherine Fiti, you know, really being the faster, more aggressive, and better boxer in the first four or five rounds. I mean, Yasmin Rivas she wasn't getting beat up. She wasn't being dominated, but she wasn't really in the fight, you know. I mean, she was trying to do what she could, but she wasn't really ever in the fight. Fiti was in control of that fight. They had a clash of heads, and then Rivas suffered a very bad cut, and then the fight was stopped, and it went to the cards, and they gave the win to Fiti, which was a shock to everybody in the place. So, yeah, I do agree with you that Catherine Fiti was the upset of the year. Although I do like Esmeralda Moreno going over to Austria and actually dropping Wilfrida. Is that her name, Wilfrida? Eva, I'm sorry, late in the fight. But I think the difference here, and I think why the upset of the year is the big Catherine's upset over Jasmine Rivas is a bigger upset, is because Esmeralda Moreno, she's been a world champion before. She is a top-level 112-pound fighter, you know? And as far as Petey, we didn't know who she was. She came back. She came from Africa. She showed up, and nobody knew anything about her. Then all of a sudden, she steps into the ring and just outboxes this very much more experienced Jasmine Rivas. And it does it in, not in her hometown, but in her home country, and walked away with the title. So and since then, she has defended it against the South African in Africa. So I agree with you. Upset of the year, no doubt, Catherine Fiti over Jasmine Rivas. Any thoughts there, Elena?
No, again, no, it's hard not to go with one of our own. I say one of our own on this side of the world going over and beating someone else. But I agree with what you guys had to say.
Okay, so the most inspirational female fighter of 2016 is?
Clarissa Shields, the two-time Olympian gold medalist from the United States. And we picked Clarissa because basically her win seemed to just spark everything. Mm-hmm. After that, things just started happening. Heather Hardy got her fight in New York, and Amanda Serrano, they were paying attention to her, and all of a sudden the TV doors are opening. And then she fought in Las Vegas against Franchon Cruz and lit up the arena. I mean, mm-hmm. people were just captivated by that fight more than any other fight. To me, even more so than the Andre Ward Kovalev fight. It just seemed to grab everybody's attention. And she came out firing, and the other girl, Cruz, came out firing. And I said, man, that was really good for women. For the audience to see that, see Clarissa in action, doing what she does, it was just an inspirational moment for women's boxing.
I think also, with the T-Rex on Netflix mm-hmm. out, it's really like, you know, the whole American dream, and that's what boxing always was, right? It was to get people out of the slums. It's a way, like any sport, you know, to do good at something and to get out of the neighborhood or to do better for your family. And I think she has a lot further to go, but it's cool because we're like getting to watch this whole story, but she wants for her family, you know, she's trying to provide, and she's found a way to do that, and it's boxing. So I think she's, for so many reasons, very inspirational, and it's really neat that we get to see the backstory behind it too.
And you know, I it's my chance to compliment Elena on what she just said, because I agree with you wholeheartedly on what you just said regarding that documentary. Because if it wasn't for that documentary, I mean, if you haven't watched it, we strongly recommend it, because you can really see who Clarissa Shields is. I mean, she's a young woman. She's 21 years old right now. In that documentary, she was only 17. So like any teenager, you know, she makes her mistakes. You know, I made mistakes when I was that young. I make mistakes now, but when I was that young, you know, dumber mistakes. I'm sure that Lena has her stories and David as well. But you could really see all the pressure that this young 17-year-old young woman has. I mean, she's going to school. She's trying to have a boyfriend. She's trying to get in the Olympics. She's trying to better herself and her family. And, you know, she loses that fight but still gets to go to the Olympics. You know, she's a very strong, strong person, regardless of what she does inside the ring, you know, outside of it. I mean, I don't know how she does it. I mean, all this pressure that's on her, it's very inspiring. I agree with you. I mean, there is a couple little things, and I've been very vocal in the past shows regarding her personality and everything. But every person everybody is like they are. And if that's the way she are, then we have to accept the way she is. It doesn't take away from what she's done, the history that she's made. regarding the Olympics and those two gold medals. I mean, keep in mind, folks, nobody's ever done what she has done. No male or female fighter has ever done what she has done in the United States. No previous gold medal winner, no Andre Ward, no Oscar De La Hoya, no Sugar Ray Leonard, no nobody has ever done. No, that's a double negative, David. No anybody has ever done what she has done. And for her, and I agree with you, David, now she's on the cover of what magazine just put her on the cover? The Ring again? The Ring put her on the cover, I believe?
I'm not sure.
I think they did. I think The Ring put her on the cover. And more importantly, I think, and I don't know if you guys caught this, but Yahoo Sports named her the Boxing Person of the Year. Okay. Over Gennady Golovkin, over Canelo Alvarez, over Vasyl Lomachenko, over any male fighter you could ever name, over Sergey Kovalev, over Andre Ward, who hasn't been defeated since he was 12 years old, has won 5 titles in 2 divisions, won a very controversial win over Kovalev. Over all those people, Clarissa Shields, 21-year-old Clarissa Shields, female boxer, was named the sports person of the year by Yahoo Sports, which obviously is a big outlet. So with that said, she obviously the most inspirational fighter for the 2-minute round. It's quite possibly the biggest accolade she's going to get in 2016. But, you know, that's just us saying. Moving on to the best sister combo of 2016.
Yes, well, there's a couple of sister combos out there. If people didn't know, first you have Mariana Juarez and her sister Lourdes, Lulu Juarez, and they had a great year. They both had they both won in December. Lourdes won by knockout against Noemi Vosquez, who we talked about in the last show, and then Mariana just beat Irma Garcia in their fights in Cancun. But the sister combo of the year has to be Amanda and Cindy Serrano of Puerto Rico, who both won world titles. Both have just grabbed the reins and are heading towards stardom. And it's been amazing to watch. And I got a chance to speak to both of them. And they're really quite eloquent, too. And they both are very focused on what they want to do. Amanda has that fight coming up and against Yasmin Rivas, and she's looking forward to that Mexican-Puerto Rican war. She likes the fact that she's fighting in this kind of fight, and that's great, you know. And they're the best sister combo of 2016.
I agree with you as well, David. I think that a close second is the Juarez sisters, but the difference there is that Mariana Juarez has been, you know, a star in Mexico for a number of years, and her sister is really coming into her own in 2016, especially with that unprecedented win and knockout. Nobody has ever knocked out Noemi Vosquez before, not Heather Hardy, not Alicia Graf, not anybody. She has been knocked down before, but she had never been knocked out, and La Pequeña Lulu did it. But I think that the story behind Amanda Serrano and Sydney Serrano and really coming into the limelight this year, and with Amanda Serrano tying Miguel Cotto as the Puerto Rican fighter with the most world titles in many divisions. I think she has 4 world titles in 4 divisions, even though that 126-pound title, in my eyes, my personal eyes, was a little bit iffy. But regardless, she won the title, and she made some history there. And now her sister becomes a world champion as well, becoming the first two sisters to become major world title holders, as they have put it themselves in their social media things. So I agree with you. Because of that, the best sister combo of 2016 is Amanda and Cindy Serrano. Elena, your thoughts?
I guess I have to agree. You know, they're really the ones who are on talked about the most, I would say, on social media. And I think there's a point that they're both, you know, kind of at the top of their game is a big factor there. And the cool thing about it is, and the sisters that you both have mentioned, is that they've both been around for a long time, so they've both kind of, you know, put in the work in the years, and it's nice to see that it's paid off for the Toronto sisters, and they are, you know, they're just rising, and hopefully they get those TV deals and things happen, because there's really not a reason for that to happen. It is a neat combo. You know, they are sisters, and they are doing really well. They're beautiful, and like you said, they're eloquent, and they seem to do great with media, and they're good fighters. So I would like to see them in some more fights next year against maybe, and I know they have fought top opposition, but I'd like to see them in some maybe some tougher fights this next year. But, yeah, I'm behind them, and I think they'll do well.
Well, we'll be talking about that in our next segment as far as the fights that we want to see in 2017, and that's something that we mentioned there. Moving on to the trainer of the year, David?
Yes, our trainer of the year, I mean, it had to be Jordan Maldonado, who trains both Amanda and Sydney Serrano. He's also the manager for both female fighters, and they've had a dynamic year. If you ever watch any of his podcasts or his live action videos that he does on Facebook or Instagram, this guy's like a tornado. I mean, he's going here, he's going there, and he's got him on camera. He's got him in front of the radio. He's got him on the gym, and they're working hard. I mean, they're out there in the cold and the snow and ice, but they're doing their work, and he's got them both primed to defend their titles, and they're both going to be in television. I think the job he did was terrific. I mean, I couldn't find another trainer of female fighters that had a better year than Jordan Maldonado.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, the fact that he has two world champions and two female world champions under his belt. I mean, the other trainer that might have, you know, some big names in his table as far as female fighters is Nacho Berenstein, who has Kika Chavez, and I believe he has quite a couple other fighters that are coming up, but none of them obviously are, no two of them are world champions like Jordan Maldonado has in the Serrano sisters. So with that said, it is a good choice for Trainer of the Year. And moving on to the Promoter of the Year is, well, none other than who has both fighters, and that is David.
The Promoter of the Year is Lou DiBella. Lou's been gathering forces to back female boxing for the last 2-3 years. I mean, he's been promoting them, putting them on our shows, just working the tables, talking to Showtime, talking to the different networks to put women on the card. And he finally cracked that door open. And with that crack came Heather Hardy, Amanda Serrano, Cindy Serrano. There's going to be more. There's going to be more this year. And they have some big plans. The runner-up has to be Zanfer for what they've been doing in Mexico, and Promociones del Pueblo, the other Mexican giant. They both kept the American audience with female boxing on television. And that's something that I think helps here in our country, because we don't see it live, but we get to see it. And I think the fact that they continue to do that really helped. But the Promoter of the Year, DiBella Entertainment, for what they did for female boxing this year and going forward.
Yes, I agree with you, David, because like we discussed it before before the show, you know, Promociones del Pueblo and Sanfer, who are the two major promoters in Mexico. Sanfer has an exclusive television contract with Canal Azteca, which is the second biggest terrestrial network here in Mexico. And Promociones del Pueblo has the same, but with Televisa, who is the biggest one. And we have mentioned it on the podcast before that Sanfer and Promociones del Pueblo and Azteca and Televisa respectively have no qualms about putting female boxing as the main event on a Saturday night during free TV, you know. But they have been doing that for they have been doing that for years and years and years. So obviously, you know, it's not anything new here in Mexico, but Luz de Bella has really made some leaps and some strides this year in 2016 as far as female boxing on TV in the United States, and that's why he takes the award from the two-minute round. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Elena, any thoughts on Mr. Luz de Bella?
Yeah, you know, David, I think that actually the first time I ever met Lou was with you. I don't know if it was an HBO dinner, but yeah, I guess it was with Palma, and I think that's when I became good friends with Polly. But, you know, he was really nice. He didn't stick his nose up to me. He was pleasant, you know, and every time I saw him, he was more than respectful. So it's really nice to see that he is getting behind female boxing, and he's a well-known promoter, and he's here in the United States. There's some smaller ones, of course, who help females, but for someone with his capacity as a promoter, it hasn't been done. So I think he should win, because America is a tough place to be for promoting women in boxing. It's so for him to take that leap, you know, I'm thankful, and hopefully if anyone can do anything, it's him.
Good point. And lastly, the last award here is the 2016 two-minute round awards for 2016 is the Valor Award, and that has been given to who, David?
We give that award to Showtime's executive, Steven Espinoza. First, it was a gutsy decision. He's in a position of power, but he has magnifying glasses on him all the time. Because if you do the wrong move, believe me, they will fire you in the instant in the TV world. And so for him to say, you know what, let's do this, you know, you got to have guts. Yeah, you have to have guts to do that. And Steve decided that he's going to do women. And this fight with Amanda Serrano and Yasmin Rivas is just the beginning. They have plans throughout the year. They're even going to do an all-female fight card on Showtime. They're not going to share with men. And so that's going to be a big moment for female boxing. And they're just trying to find the right candidates. And he informed me that that's what they're looking at. They're just looking for the right candidates to put in the card, or it's just going to be females. And I got to give him the award, because I know that these TV guys, they have a lot of pressure. And they make a wrong decision, and they're out. So definitely Steven Espinoza of Showtime for his brave decision to televise female fights again after so many years.
Wow, good info there, David. You were kind of holding that back. You hadn't mentioned that to me as far as the all-female boxing card plan for Showtime. So good way to keep it for the show. That's good stuff. Though that sounds great. You know, that sounds great, and hopefully we see it in 2017. And you know, Steven Espinoza, like you mentioned, you know, he deserves the award, you know, not only for, well, I mean, he deserves it from us, but it looks like after a slow 2016, not only from HBO, but from Showtime as well, it looks like they're gearing up for 2017. Showtime has announced a great schedule of fights for the first 3 months of 2017, and the first fight card on their network is going to be on January 14th, where that fight between Amanda Serrano and Yasmin Rivas is going to be featured on Showtime Extreme. But we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth in our upcoming calendar. But, you know, Showtime is really starting to put their foot down in 2017 with fight cards, and the fact that they are evolving and including females, then that shows that they are starting to commit to the female boxing, and that's good news. Well, that brings us to the end of the 2016 two-minute round awards here, and now we're going to move on very quickly to another segment where it's five fights that we want to see in 2017. Obviously, these are not the only five fights we would like to see in 2017 or in the next 4 months, but it's the five fights that I think can make a difference in the boxing world as far as how much attention they would get if these five fights were to be made. And starting off with the first fight, it would be a rematch. And something that we had talked about in the last segment as far as the awards, Jessica La Kika Chavez, the WBC flyweight champion, facing Esmeralda La Joya Moreno again. Like we mentioned, this fight for us and for many people won the 2016 fight of the year. So why not see it again, you know? Why not see it again? There was also a lot of great fights in 2016, but this fight quite possibly would have the more weight to it because it is part of the WBC flyweight tournament, which is supposed to gear up again early in 2017 with the second round. There's four fighters left, which is Jessica Kika Chavez, Esmeralda La Joya Moreno, Ana Arrasola, who also scored an upset against Raja Amashe a couple of months ago in the first round out there in Austria. And then also the 108-pound WBC champion, Ibel La Roca Zamora, is also in that tournament, in the flyweight tournament. So quite possibly we might be able to see this rematch in the second round, which is coming up, or in the final if both of these fighters defeat their next opponents. And the finals are supposed to be sometime in early summer. I personally think that these two fighters are going to be the ones that we're going to see. I don't know. Actually, without thinking about it, I mean, Bella Roca Zamora, very tough fighter. She might pull the upset there. I think she's been in both of these fighters in the past, but
I think so.
At 108 pounds. So we will see if it's at flyweight, it will make a difference. And that is the only obstacle, the roadblock that might stop us from seeing this fight, at least in the first half of the year, is that by any chance, Ibella Roca Zamora faces Kika Chavez and defeats her in the second round, or Esmeralda Moreno and defeats her, then she goes to the final and we won't see it. But I'm sure that Moreno, well, it all depends, David and Elena, because let's say Kika Chavez loses the title to La Roca Zamora, and then let's say La Roca Zamora makes it to the final and Moreno does too, and La Roca Zamora defeats Moreno. I don't know if Moreno wants to face Chavez again because she doesn't have the title. What do you think?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, sometimes people get like that. They say, well, you don't have the title. Why should I fight you? You know, mm-hmm. It gets like that. Elena wasn't like that. Elena would fight anybody.
No, yeah. No, I mean, has she been like that in the past? Is it anything to make you believe that she would feel that way?
I don't know. Like, that's the question. Is like, would Moreno want to take that thorn out of her side, regardless if Kika Chavez doesn't have the title, and would she still be asking for the rematch in the second half of 2016 if we weren't to see it in the first half as part of the tournament? That is a good question. But regardless, that is the fight that we want to see in 2016, the rematch between Kika Chavez and La Joya Moreno. Another rematch that was also talked about but wasn't included in the five fights was a rematch between Marta Salazar and I forgot the young lady's first name, Jimenez, that won the
Alejandra Jimenez.
Yeah, that's another rematch that I think deserves to be done in 2017 because I think that the result was a bit questionable. And, you know, I think that Marta Salazar deserves the right to challenge for her old title in the United States. So in a more neutral ground, per se, because Alejandra Jimenez, although being from Mexico City, they fought in Cancun, a city where she had fought previously plenty of times. And I think that Salazar deserves the right to challenge for her old title once again. But it wasn't included in this list. Because I think that as far as fireworks were concerned, Chavez against Moreno had the bigger potential.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, a fight that I'm sure that David would have a lot to say about, another fight that we would like to see in 2017, and it has been talked about but has not been made just yet because what it seems to be some economic, financial issues there, but we would like to see Cecilia, the First Lady Breakhouse, considered by many, not everybody here, but by many, the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world against Layla MacArthur. Okay.
Yeah.
Cecilia Breakhouse first must get past Clara Swenson, who she faces at the end of January. But
that's
once she does
fight.
That, yeah, well, that's a hard fight. Swenson has only lost one time, and she's a tough fighter. She got the opportunity to face Breakhouse by beating another tough fighter in Michaela Loren. But if Breakhouse gets by Clara Swenson, then why not finally see that Layla MacArthur fight, a fight that we have not seen in the past? David, what do you, Wiki? I'm sure you have a lot to say about this potential fight.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're both, in my estimation, Cecilia Breakhouse has never fought anybody nearly as talented as Layla MacArthur. Leonard fought her many years ago. She fought Layla MacArthur, and when they were both featherweights, I think. Elena was just starting that. What big transformation has Layla MacArthur had since then, Elena? Or was she the same fighter?
It was a long time ago, and she was bigger than me. And I think she even felt bad for me after the fight, to be honest with you. But she did. I just kept walking into all her punches, like the whole fight. You know, I wasn't really good at boxing. I was just tough, and so she, like, you know, tried to make me feel better and told me how many fights she had afterwards. But no, she's completely transformed. You know, she's been in there for a long time. She's sparred the best men in the world, the best women in the world, and she's really become not just a athletic or slick boxer, but a really smart technician, and she wins fights, you know, and she knows how to win, and she was already a great athlete and a good boxer, but she knows how to win, and so, yeah, she's just gotten better, you know. It doesn't happen to everyone, but she's definitely one of the ones that it did happen to, and she really has never left the gym, has never stopped learning or training, and so it's really done well for her. She's in Vegas, you know, she's right there in the center of boxing, where boxing is, and she hasn't left. So I think that would be a great fight. I hope money doesn't stop it, and maybe things will change with TV here in the U.S. and women's boxing. The thing is, like, you know, with women, it's not like we make that much money, so just for the sport, like, find a way to make it happen. You know, it's better than no money, I guess. So I hope money doesn't stop them, because, like you said, Breakhouse, a lot of I read everything, and people do view her as the best talent for Pam. But like we're talking about, then let's see her fight Layla MacArthur, because Layla MacArthur is, like I said, she knows how to win fights, and she is the top. And so let's see that fight happen.
I have two questions regarding this. Well, not two questions, but one question and one comment regarding this fight. Now, it is said, Cecilia Breakhouse did mention after her last fight against Mathis that her goals for 2017 was to face Cyborg, and then also to come to the United States and fight in the United States. That Cyborg fight, nobody cares, okay? Even after, you know, what happened to Ronda Rousey, I mean, you know, as far as facing a boxer per se, Cecilia Breakhouse is considered one of the best boxers in the world. So, you know, so what can Cyborg, if you're going to fight her in a boxing match, what is Cyborg going to do against her? Absolutely nothing. So that's something that should be not even talked about anymore. So Cecilia Breakhouse did say she would want to come over to the United States and fight. Why not fight Layla MacArthur here in the United States, where it might make a little bit more sense? Who knows? You know, is Layla MacArthur a big enough name that would make sense for Cecilia Breakhouse to want to face here in the United States? Who knows? If it's not Layla MacArthur, then who is at welterweight? I don't know that either.
You know, it would be cool if TV, if Showtime put them on. I don't know if they would, maybe, but, I mean, that would be freaking amazing, right? Like, for the world to see those women fighting, like, I just don't see a better fight for people to know what women's boxing is in that fight.
And I think so. I agree with you, Elena, because the styles make fights. Breakhouse obviously is known more for to be a more of a boxer, whereas Layla MacArthur, obviously, great boxing skills, but because of her size, she's going to have to be the aggressor in this fight. She would have to get on the inside of Breakhouse and try to, you know, make it into a brawl just because of their size. And that takes me to my second question to you, David. And Elena, you know, one thing about Lena MacArthur and her 13 losses, she has 38 wins, 13 losses, and 5 draws, is that a lot of those 13 losses have come because she, looking for a fight, has gone up in weight and fought at a weight class that's not really hers. I mean, Lena MacArthur naturally is probably 135 pounder. So obviously to fight breakout, she would have to go up to welterweight. How much of a disadvantage is that for Lena MacArthur fighting breakouts at this point? Going, I mean, she's fought at welterweight before, but it's got to be a disadvantage. How much of a disadvantage is it?
You know what? We actually talked to her, too. She was another person that we talked to, and she said she was well above, I think, 135. Do you remember that, David? Because I was kind of surprised because I didn't know she was that heavy either.
Yeah, she fought, she won the title at super welterweight when she knocked that girl out in Africa. So fighting at a heavier weight is no problem for her. She can fight from 135 to 140 to 154.
Yeah, I don't even think she said she could get down to 135 anymore. I believe that's one thing she mentioned when she was on with us, is that that's not possible.
True. She said she would have to work out a lot, at least 2 months.
Mm.
Well, then that's something that if that's discard. I mean, I know that she would fight at welterweight. That's not the question. The question is how much of a disadvantage would she be fighting breakout, who is a natural 147-pounder in that weight class? So, you know, like you say, let's keep our fingers crossed in 2017, and hopefully that's a fight that Steven Espinosa or anybody in the United States is willing to put on and that we could watch. I mean, we all know that Breakout is promoted or co-promoted by K2 Promotions, who Mr. Tom Loeffler is the head of, and also promotes Gennady Golovkin and, you know, the Klitschko brothers, or the Klitschko, one of the Klitschkos, Vladimir Klitschko now. And we all know that Tom Loeffler has no problem putting on female boxing on the Gennady Golovkin undercards. So that is something that we might be seeing in the near future in 2017. Now, the third fight out of the five that we would like to see in 2017, we kind of touched about it a little bit, and Elena mentioned it, is that it would be Amanda Serrano against Jelena Mironovic, the WBA and WBC featherweight champion, whereas Amanda Serrano is a WBO 122-pound title. In the article that was written in the PrizeFighters.com, it was mentioned that, in my opinion, I read the article, that in my opinion, Amanda Serrano doesn't have that signature win, that we could say, hey, you know, she's a great fighter. I'm not going to say that she's not a great fighter, but you agree with me, David, every fighter needs that signature win so that we could truly, truly, truly call him great, you know. And you could go down the list of all the fighters and that signature win that they've had. And I don't believe that Amanda Serrano just yet has that signature win. So if she would face Jelena Mironovic, who also stated here on the two-minute round that she has no problem fighting Amanda at 126 pounds or quite possibly even going down to 122 because she would like to win a title there as well. You know, if Amanda Serrano scores a win over Mironovic, that might be her signature win up to this point in her career. You know, Amanda Serrano, this article was posted on social media, and Amanda Serrano actually commented on it, and she mentioned she commented on it. She basically said that the fight was offered to Mironovic. Mironovic priced herself out, but that she's going to keep doing what she needs to do, that she doesn't need this fight to feel accomplished. And I respect that opinion, but in my opinion, as an outsider, as a person who follows the sport and writes about it and comments about it on this podcast, I believe that it doesn't have to be Mironovic, but that's the fight that I want to see for her to get that signature win. David, do you agree or disagree?
I agree partly. I think that her fight against Yasmin Rivas is a big fight. Mm-hmm. I think it's equally big. I think Yasmin Rivas is a good fighter. She's solid. And if she could beat her in a atmosphere where you have Puerto Rico versus Mexico and two countries looking at you, that's a lot of pressure. And that's a lot of that's a signature win, in my estimation.
But would you agree that she is the favorite in this fight?
Yeah. Well, I would have her as a favorite. I definitely
have her as a favorite. I have her as a favorite because Jasmine Rivas is going up from bantamweight. She's going up from bantamweight to super bantamweight, so she's going to a heavier weight class. Also, Jasmine Rivas is not coming off any great wins. She hasn't had that great of a year, 2016, and it was messing. It was mentioned here, on as the upset of the year. So I agree with you. Beating that Jasmine Rivas is important. You know, it's a good fight. It's a big fight, but in my opinion, you know, it's not a signature win. It's a good win. It's not a signature win. Fighting the Miranovic and beating the Miranovic, a fight that I would say is a 50-50 fight because of the styles of them, I think that's a signature win more so than beating Jasmine Rivas. Not saying that Jasmine Rivas is not a good fight. It's a great fight, and I can't wait to see it. But I don't think, in my opinion, it's a signature win. Elena, your thoughts?
You know, I saw some of the comments that you were talking about, and it kind of seemed like she was getting angry and she was a little bit sassy with, you know, kind of getting mad that people are saying what we're saying is that she really hasn't fought the best opposition up to this point, and she didn't seem to like that very much. So it's kind of a question in my mind, but I think this next fight is a telling fight. I don't feel it's a dangerous fight for her, so maybe in my mind the same thing. I guess it depends on how she performs. If she's, you know, it really, I'm not going to, if she can look, I guess it just depends on the fight. But in my mind right now, I don't think it's going to, I don't think the opposition makes it a stellar fight, but maybe she'll change my mind when I see the fight for the two of them. But you're right, there's kind of a lot of going into this fight to where there's a lot of question marks, I think.
Wow, Elena, new year, new us. Huh, Elena? We're
yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're agreeing on a lot of stuff.
The year in 2017.
Let's keep it going at least for half the year, Elena. Let's keep it going for at least half the year.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to the fourth fight. And this fight, not as big, maybe not a big, trendsetter, or maybe not putting as big of an imprint on the female boxing world in 2017 if it were to happen, but I wanted to include it because, like I mentioned before, I'm a traditionalist, and I also love history to be made. I want to be, when I get to be a little bit older, say, you know what, I remember when that happened, and that's the first time it ever happened, you know? And like Clarissa Shields, when we get older and people ask us, oh yeah, I remember when Clarissa Shields won 2 gold medals and she fought for $50,000 and all that. And then when we saw, you know, the first fight on Showtime Extreme with females, we're going to be able to say that. So I like history, and I like to be not part of it, but at least a witness to the spectator to it. Thank you, Elena. Now we're finishing each other's sentences now, Elena. Thank you. So the fight that I mentioned was the WBO 112-pound champion Nana Yoshikawa against Areli Muncino of Mexico. Areli Muncino has won titles at 112 of the WBC, the WBA, and the IBF. So by her facing Nana Yoshikawa, who is 7-1 with 4 knockouts versus 22 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws, and 10 knockouts for Areli Muncino, it would create a historic moment for the first female flyweight Mexican champion to win all 4 titles, not at the same time, but at different times. You know, obviously, Cecilia Brickhouse is the undisputed welterweight champion, so it wouldn't be the first time a female fighter did it, but it would be the first time a Mexican flyweight champion would ever achieve that feat. So that's why and also because I think it would be a good fight, but that's why I included it there. David, you think there was a better fight to be included? Maybe this one was a little bit more of a passion fight of mine?
I like the fact, like you mentioned, I would never disagree with those 5, but there are some others I'd like to be included, but until I think about it, I'll just leave it at that. Those 5 right there are good.
Okay. And then lastly, and I think this fight, lastly, the last fight that I chose would be Clarissa Shields against the winner of Marisela Cornejo against Raquel Miller. And let's give a little bit of a background. Let's give a little bit of background on why this fight was chosen. If you guys have been following this podcast, there have been times that I have had the opportunity to interview female boxers in preparation for an article that I wrote on the prizefighters.com, which is an all-female boxing website that David Avila and myself contribute and write for. So, and I record those interviews, and I'm able to we post them here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. If you haven't had the chance to listen, we've had one with I forgot her first name, the young woman from Las Vegas. Her last name is Ramirez. Marina Ramirez. We posted that one. We posted one with I forget who else, but one that we did post was with Raquel Miller. Raquel Miller is, if you don't know who she is, she's an amateur standout for the United States. She was an Olympic alternate in 2012, and I think, believe, 2016 as well. I'm not 100%. She is managed or advised by Luigi Olgizzi, who also manages and advises Marine Shea and Jennifer Hahn and Alicia Ashley. And she's starting to come up a little bit in the Bay Area of San Francisco. She's from Oakland. She fights out of San Diego as well. She trains here. And in that interview, if you haven't listened to it, feel free to look at the history of the Living in the Ring Network. She has some strong comments regarding Marisela Cornejo's fight against Elisa Olsen, which what happened some months ago, part of the Golden Boy what's it called, David? Club fights? What are they called? The LA. What do they call that series?
LA Fight Club.
LA Fight Club at the Velasco Theater. If you guys remember, Marisela Cornejo faced Elisa Olsen, a fighter who had not seen action in about 10 years and was fighting way above her weight. And Raquel Miller has some strong opinions regarding that fight, mentioning that she didn't think it was competitive, that it was really not that good of a fight. And, you know, Marisela Cornejo took offense to that, and they kind of went into a little war. I don't want to say that I started the war, but I think that it kind of started from that whole interview and the whole article that was posted and the interview that was posted here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. And they went into like a little bit of a social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, little war of wars between Marisela Cornejo and Clarissa Shields. And then, you know, they had a little bit of a face-off. They actually ran into each other at the Sergey Kovalev-Andre Ward fight in Vegas. And I don't know if you guys had the chance to see that on the social media where they were actually taping it and they were kind of having like a little back and forth between them. So with that said, long story short, there's been a little bit of beef. There's a little bit of heat between Marisela Cornejo and Raquel Miller. And how does Clarissa Shields fall into this? Well, Clarissa Shields has also been asked about both fighters, and she kind of went a little bit harder on Raquel Miller. I think they have a little bit of history regarding the amateurs, and because they were, I think Raquel Miller helped her get ready for the Olympics in 2012, and I don't know what's going on. We haven't gotten to the bottom of it, you know, but I think there was a little bit of history there, and Clarissa Shields kind of, in some interviews that I saw that she's done on social media, she wasn't all that excited about facing Raquel Miller, basically saying, who is she for me to fight her? And she never really said anything about Marisela Cornejo, but, you know, I do want to see Marisela Cornejo and Raquel Miller face off, and then whoever wins that fight faces Clarissa Shields. And that, I think, will create a huge buzz in the female boxing world, even though they only have, I mean, Clarissa Shields is only 1-0, and Marisela Cornejo is 6-2, and Raquel Miller is 2-0. Who doesn't like the beef? I love beef. I love when people get into it. It makes it more exciting. It makes it more passionate. And I think this is something to look forward to in 2017 if it can be done.
You gotta keep it going, Felipe.
Yeah. Actually, I tried to interview Marisela Cornejo right after, but we were having some technical difficulties with the recording equipment, and I wasn't able to get her on tape. So hopefully in the near future we get to talk to her and ask her about this whole thing, and she could be as candid as she ever was and as she has been here on the 2-minute round. So that brings us to the end of the 5 fights that we want to see in 2017. If you want to give us a call, you can, 347-215-7598. Here we're over. We're coming to the end of the first show of 2017. A historic show here at the 2-minute round, because Elena and I have agreed in a lot of things. And like, so it's becoming quite historic. But to finish off, let's move on to the upcoming calendar. And to mention that our next show is going to be on, when's our next show? 7 days show on the 19th. On January 19th, I believe, will be our next show. It's every other round here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. The 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. And it is on January 19th where we'll be talking about all the latest female boxing news. And we'll be commenting on these two fights that I'm going to announce. Because in the next couple weeks, there's only two female fights to be mentioned here on the upcoming calendar. Very slow start to 2017, but we'll go a little bit in depth on the second fight that I want to mention. The first fight on Saturday, January 14th, from the Glitter Dome in Denver, Colorado, Airtight Boxing brings us Patricia Juarez. She's going to be facing Amorena Baca in a 4-rounder at 135 pounds. You might be asking yourself, who the hell is Patricia Juarez? Well, if you didn't know, she is the other sister of Mariana La Barbie Juarez. Obviously, Mariana Barbie Juarez is a huge figure in the female boxing world. I mean, she's probably the most popular Mexican female boxer right now with Jackie Nava coming back. She is coming back. She is training. She's running and everything. We don't know. Hopefully in 2017 we'll see her back. There were rumors and something that we have not mentioned. They haven't announced it yet, but it looks like the third WBC all-female boxing convention is going to be held in Hermosillo, Mexico in February. There is rumors that Jackie Nava may be making her comeback during that convention, but we'll see. The fact that she's a politician in Mexico, I don't know if her schedule is going to permit her, but as far as I know, she's training. She's here in Tijuana right now, and she's training. She's getting down in weight, so that might be something that we might be seeing in February from Hermosillo at the W. They haven't announced it yet, but I believe the announcement is coming up soon. Well, Patricia Juarez is the sister. She's only 1-0. The last time we heard of her, she had signed to that promoter who had also signed Kalisha West and Melissa McMorrow, who seems to have gone by the wayside and is no longer part of the business right now, as far as we're concerned. But Patricia Juarez will be fighting in her hometown of Denver, Colorado, where she lives and trains. So that fight is happening on Saturday, January 14th. But the same night, and the fight that we have been mentioning here and there, and David could tell us a little bit more about it since he just wrote a great article on the prizefighters.com and also interviewed Amanda Serrano about it, is from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. The Bella Entertainment Mayweather Promotions brings us a WBO Super Bantamweight Champion, Amanda Serrano, defending her title against former WBC Bantamweight Champion from Mexico, Jasmine La Rosita Rivas, in a 10-rounder. David, give us your thoughts about this fight. Give us some insight as far as your article that you wrote and the conversation we had with Amanda Serrano.
Well, basically, Amanda loves the fact that she's fighting a Mexican former champion, and she likes the fact that Rivas has never been knocked out, and she plans to knock her out. She says she wants to show that she has real power and that she wants to show the world, not just Rivas, but the world, that she is a knockout puncher and somebody to watch, and which is a rare thing because not all women are knockout punchers. There's far less knockout punchers in female boxing than there is in men's boxing, but Amanda Serrano is the real deal, and that's her nickname, the real deal.
Good. And just a little exclusive for you guys. I actually have made contact with Jasmine Rivas, and I will be interviewing her this weekend over the phone. So look out for that article on the prizefighters.com. You can check it on our Facebook account, facebook.com/ the prizefighters, or on the website, theprizefighters.com. So that article will be out next week. I'll be interviewing her this weekend, and then it obviously will be out before the fight. So like I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, those are the only two fights, the two major fights that we have for the next couple of weeks in the female boxing world. Our next show is January 19th here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Happy 2017. I will pass the baton first to Elena Baby Doll Reeves so she can say her goodbyes for this week, and then Mr. David Allen.
Well, happy New Year to everyone. I think it looks like women's boxing is off to a good start, and so I just wish everyone, you know, the best year yet.
David?
And the same here from David Avila. Yeah, I wish everybody a great new year. We're off to a flaming start, and let's see you again in 2 weeks.
There you go, folks. So from everybody here in the two-minute round, we bid you good night.
Good night.